Thank you very much and good morning. What Rebecca did not mention is that she is actually one of the folks who helped evaluate this program. Had I known that, we could have had her do the presentation. So the good news is any questions that I may not be able to answer, since I'm filling in, perhaps Rebecca, our moderator, can help us with that. And again, I apologize if I'm doing a little bit more reading than I should, but again, as I'm the substitute presenter filling in for Nicole today. So what I'd like to do, my disclosure statement, is to discuss the NLM HIV/AIDS Community Information Outreach Program, give you an overview, discuss the evaluation, lessons learned from this program, and recommendations for future endeavors. So just to give you a little background on it, this is a very long-term project going back to the 1990s. And the program began as a result of recommendations that we received from AIDS service organizations, community-based organizations, and others on information access to HIV/AIDS health information, and that there was a critical need to help community organizations help not only their staff but also their clientele in accessing this information. So based on a conference in which we brought all these groups together, we did issue our first request for quotations in 1994, and we have done so annually since that time. So what are our purpose and goals? So what we're doing here is to design local programs for improving HIV/AIDS information access for patients, health professionals, the affected community, and their caregivers, as well as the general public, particularly those at high risk. The goals are to improve access to HIV/AIDS information, to encourage partnerships and community-focused activities down to the local level, and promote awareness and use of technology and new tools as they become available and they help these communities. We do know that there are some barriers to accessing this information, that folks do want to remain anonymous in many cases, and particularly when we began this project, but still continuing today, there's lack of computers at community organizations that have access to the internet. There's still a lack of skills by many people to use the computers and learn how to search for authoritative information. When we began, there certainly was a lack of high-quality, authoritative, and timely information. That has changed. More is available. However, there's a lot of not-so-good information, and it's difficult for people to sort through all of the information. In addition, there had been a lack of relevant and appropriate sites for specific populations that meets their individual needs. And there's the ongoing issues of literacy and health literacy and computer literacy as well. So what kinds of activities did we support? Well, we supported a number of activities. One was in the area of information retrieval, helping people get access to this information. So this might be just helping them buy computers, pay for internet access, other technology to get access. Nowadays, may be moving more towards mobile applications and mobile devices. There was also skills development, doing training sessions and skills. It might be skills in using a computer. It might be skills in searching the internet. It might be skills in health literacy. We also did resource development. We fund resource development. So this might be developing tailored educational information materials. Although NLM has a great deal of material available, we found that people really needed to tailor it to their particular community to meet their needs and engage their communities. And then the last area was providing access to HIV-related documents. What we mean by this really primarily was access to the scientific literature. Many of the community-based organizations were not affiliated with the Health Science Library to get easy access to the literature. So we do, if interested, we will fund that as well. You can see here the list of the variety of kinds of organizations we funded, so community-based organizations, some patient advocacy groups, faith-based organizations, as well as public health departments, academic institutions, and public and health science libraries. Part of this, however, is that you have to have a community organization and or a library as one of your partners. So it's not just an academic institution on its own or a health department on its own. They need to partner with community organizations and libraries. So where do we stand right now? Currently, we do annual competitive awards, so I encourage any of you from any of these types of organizations to apply if you haven't already. They are a one-year funding level, and right now we are funding them at $40,000 for the year. We started the program, it was $25,000. We've increased to $40,000. We've done a couple of different things over the years as well with express awards for smaller amounts for less difficult kinds of application procedures. And we usually fund around 15 each year. We did make a change in 2008 that included, as part of the mandatory criteria, that you needed to include a statement that projects must address how they will improve the awareness and utilizations of NLM's HIV/AIDS information resources. And we did that not to be self-serving, but what we found with a lot of the applications is they wanted to create things that had already been created by NLM or other organizations that NLM points to. So a lot of them, oh, we will do a website that lists, you know, organizations that deal with HIV/AIDS. Okay, well, there's many of those out there. We don't need to do more. If, for example, that you could see how it was going to be tailored to your local needs, that you have easy access to national, regional, maybe state-level organizations, but you wanted to put together more local things, then that would be acceptable. But we didn't want to just reinvent the wheel. Okay, so those are the programs. Now let's take a look at what kind of evaluation we've done over the years of the program, because, as I said, it did start a long time ago in 1994. Well, we get final reports from all of the organizations, and they are supposed to include information about did they meet their goals and objectives, was there an impact. We found that the final reports do some of that, but most of it is qualitative information and not quantitative information, and most of it just talks about, well, they did the training, or they bought the equipment, or they developed a website, but they don't talk a lot about the impact, so it has been very difficult for us to measure the impact. I'm going to jump down to the third bullet now and talk about the HIV/AIDS Community Information Outreach Workshop, which we held last December. This was to bring together some of the awardees to talk about their experiences with the projects, also to bring in experts in information access and changes in technologies, to talk about where we might head this program, if there's changes that are needed to improve the program over the next years. And it was very beneficial to hear from them, and I think it was helpful for the awardees to hear from each other, and they gained a lot of insight. And then finally, we've done an evaluation program that started in 2011 with Columbia University, and this is what Rebecca has worked on. And I'll be talking a little bit more about that as well. And Rebecca wants to chime in, I feel free. We want to talk about the idea that we were looking at the purpose of the evaluation was to determine the program's performance, how well it did, the impact it had, and continued relevance as it's presently structured, given the current status of the epidemic, new tools that might be available, current needs of the affected community, how that may have changed over time, and what program modifications should be made to improve the program. So again, Columbia University stepped in. They have a lot of experience with not only health information outreach, but specifically with HIV/AIDS health information outreach. And they developed a very nice evaluation plan that we'll talk about in a couple minutes. They did use an approach that was derived from the public health perspective and used a model that many of you may already be familiar with, REAIM. And that's sort of described up here, but I don't think I have time to go through all of it right now, but it goes beyond just looking at effectiveness or efficacy, but looking at who was reached, how it was adopted by the organization and their clientele and their target audience, implementation, as well as maintenance and sustainability. So they did use a sort of a mixed methodology, both quantitative and qualitative in their strategy. And in terms of quantitative, they looked at the analysis of 47 reports from 44 awardees. This means that awardees can get awards multiple times, multiple years, so we have seen that. And they abstracted data from the final reports of these and also summarized them with some descriptive statistics. In addition, the qualitative analysis was 17 awardee interviews from 20 awards to try to get a better understanding of the impact of these projects. So just looking real quickly at key findings, we looked at some of the direct beneficiaries. Again, we were trying to reach particular audiences, so you can see patients and the general public, including those at high risk, were the highest amount, so we did meet our direct beneficiaries. There were many that dealt with high-risk populations, so people living with HIV/AIDS, African Americans, Hispanic Americans as well, that were targeted in these projects. And there was a heavy emphasis on community involvement, which is exactly what our goal was. And you can see a huge number of the projects that were studied partnered with community organizations, youth volunteers, et cetera. So in terms of a summary of our evaluation findings, we did fund low-resource organizations that were serving high-risk populations, which is exactly what we had intended to do. We also found that there was significant community involvement and that most people felt that this was a strong benefit to have their community involvement, and that there was strong evidence that the awardees have designed local programs for improving access to HIV information and developing meaningful information for them, matching the resources to the user needs, was well documented. And most projects, you know, did experience some barriers, and most of them were able to overcome them. We'll discuss those in just a minute. And but there wasn't very much quantitative evidence about that they increased the awareness and use of NLM resources, so we'd like to try to encourage that. So what's working? We met the project objectives, working with high-risk populations. I think they studied there were over nearly 200 objectives, and about 83% of these were met by the different groups. Only one group did not meet any of its objectives. Working with high-risk populations, low-resource organizations, community involvement, as I mentioned before. We also found a strong emphasis on building on existing efforts. If they were working with a group that had experience in this area, if they had received funding in the past, if it tied in with some other project, it really enhanced the success of the project. Tailoring to local needs was really critical, to engage folks that they needed to take information resources that were already developed or develop new ones that really focused on their particular audience. There were also many unintended positive consequences. People really felt empowered that they had new information, so when they went to clinicians, they had better understanding and better ability to talk with them. They developed new skills, because a lot of them developed new computer skills and helped them in other areas of their life as well. What's not working? Well, there were barriers to the awardees, so everything from staffing issues, changing staff, losing staff. There were issues with project management, not having the skills with that, not having done an information kind of project before that was new to them, that was a barrier. And there was a strong lack of evaluation ability, that they didn't have much experience doing evaluation. There were also some barriers with the target population, trying to get them engaged, trying to get them to spend the time to do the training, that, you know, they didn't have the time or resources available, getting them to it, you know, talked about transportation issues, so that they had other issues on their mind before, you know, that were of higher priority than this. Limited project evaluation was critical, and this is an area that we will be working on in the future, and we've come up with a couple of ideas to improve on that. And that the reports fail to capture important aspects of the project, and again, a couple ways that we'll improve that as well. So some limitations: we did not look at all of the projects, only 47 projects. We funded nearly 200, and with the qualitative, only 17 interviews were done. So again, it would be nice to expand upon that. But in terms of recommendations for improvements, one is to remediate the lack of evaluation capacity, help them with evaluation. NLM has published a tool, actually it was a number of years ago, on measuring the difference, a guide to planning and evaluating health information outreach to make sure they all have access to this, either online or in print, and use it. Offer one-on-one consultation with technical evaluation expert. Offer a webinar series on project evaluation they can participate in, and share information amongst the awardees. So there is a listserv now, there is a blog, and trying to get them to communicate with each other and not just with NLM. The other area was the final report template. Could we give them a template that would make it easier for them to complete and give NLM better data for further evaluation? So we are going to allow them to submit it online. We did include this time, this last year, that the solicitation required that you had some evidence of evaluation capacity. And we've redesigned the template for the final report, and it includes sample descriptions so that they have a better understanding of what can be done, and examples of qualitative and quantitative measurable objectives. So having samples and descriptions and having some examples for them, we think will aid them in completing the final reports. which will be beneficial not only to them, but to NLM for the whole program. So we will continue this program. Based on the evaluation, we found that it's still very valuable and that there are still barriers to access to HIV/AIDS information. Training is still critical. Developing educational materials for local needs is also still critical, so we will still continue to support them. And still purchasing equipment, although the cost of equipment has come down, few hundred dollars for an iPad or whatever, it is still a barrier for many of these community organizations. It's not their highest priority. So this kind of funding can help them. So I just want to say thank you very much for this opportunity. And here is Nicole's email address, nicole.scott@nih.gov, if you have further questions. And I'm happy to take a couple now if you have any. Thank you. Yeah.
Yes, hi. Thank you very much. My name is Paul Gates. I'm at the NIH in the Office of AIDS Research. And you said that you also do smaller grants and or supplements. I know the program is really good. One of the things that I'm wondering, while at the NIH, especially in my office, we certainly want to see AIDS dollars being spent on specific AIDS targeted activities. But because the NLM is actually has so much power behind it, information power, and you're reaching out into the community, just a quick suggestion would be to consider both in terms of your evaluation effort and training and also your end users' access about if there's a module to add in all these projects for the end user about, while this is all about HIV/AIDS, the skills that you are learning are applicable for your life context needs. So sort of like what Dr. Gomez was saying, as they have these other social context and personal health needs, these skills are translatable. Now, we all might say, well, isn't that obvious? But it actually may be a chip, a novel, a module to put in that I think would still support that it's HIV/AIDS focused and extend its utility for the end user. And then the same thing for your evaluation folk, when they go in and get that training, to say that we're doing this specifically for this program and for HIV/AIDS, the information outreach. But also in your world, as you go forward with other efforts and other health issues, this is also a framework that you can use to evaluate your other issues as well.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that. And again, we have, you know, some qualitative information on how that was used, but I agree we probably haven't emphasized it with the community groups that we're using for them to then pass along to their group. So we've heard a few examples, but I think it would be great because not only for themselves, but their family, their friends, that they can use this in many different ways. So thank you. We'll take that into consideration. Another question? Thank you.